Please be seated. At this point in our time of worship, we're going to proceed to the annual meeting of Church of the Savior. This is a meeting that's actually required of us in our legal documents, our bylaws, to transact any necessary business that needs to be done by the whole parish. One of the things that needs to be done by the whole parish is for us to elect members to the vestry, and there are certain other items of business that we will be transacting as well, which are going to be on our meeting agenda. We'll open with prayer, and then we'll continue with our agenda. I think there should be a slide with the agenda on it. Next one, I think. Next one. After that. Nope, I guess not. Nope. All right, well, if you don't have one, there are copies of our annual report on the back table. We're not going to duplicate everything that's in the report, but the agenda is printed on the inside page there, on the first page, so you can follow that at least. We'll begin with prayer. Father, we're grateful that we have the opportunity to gather. We're grateful for the many who have been called by you to serve in this place, in this setting. We pray that your Holy Spirit will guide and lead us in our conversation, in our determinations, and that you'll encourage us by your presence and work. We ask all of these things in the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Well, on the agenda, the next item of business is the determination of a quorum. That's very simple because our bylaws state that a quorum is when any more than two members of Church of the Savior are gathered. I see at least two members of Church of the Savior present this morning, so I declare there is a quorum. The next item of business is the appointment of a secretary for the meeting, and I appoint Pat McBroom, who is the outgoing vestry secretary, as secretary for our meeting today. Next is the minutes from the 2021 annual parish meeting. Unless you want me to read them verbatim, I will entertain a motion from the floor that we dispense with the reading of the minutes. Is there a motion? I see Deacon Andrea. Second? Jason. Very good. It's moved and seconded to dispense with the reading of the minutes of the 2021 meeting. You can read those again in your paper report. And by the way, if you don't pick one up today and you'd like a copy, I can very easily email you a PDF. Just let me know and I'll see that you get one. Next on our agenda is the election of members of the vestry. I want to say just a few words about that as we begin. First of all, a couple of years ago, in order to streamline our business, we actually adopted a change to our bylaws to reduce the number of vestry members from 6 to 4, with 4 plus the rector is the minimum allowed by the diocesan canons for the size of a parish vestry. And we're still in transition from the 6 to 4 number, because it means a little bit of a challenge in how we elect people. But this year we're going to be electing for the final time under the new bylaws, two new members of the vestry. They will be serving a two-year term in one case and a four-year term in the other to make the terms even, so that henceforth every year we'll just elect one new person and every subsequent vestry term will be for 4 years. So I want to first thank Pat McBroom and Allie Kennedy for their service on the vestry, and particularly wanted to say how grateful I am to Allie for her leadership the last couple of years as senior warden. She's been tremendously supportive, wise in prayer and counsel, and I've very much appreciated your leadership, Allie. Thank you. And thank you, Pat, also for being a faithful prayer warrior and note taker for us. Very important background ministries, but important nonetheless. Our nominees for vestry this year, I need to say just a word about that. By our bylaws, the vestry, as was approved by the parish meeting a few years ago, is what we call a self filling board, in other words, a self-replacing board. The vestry takes the responsibility of praying seriously and inviting people to serve, and then those persons are brought to the parish for ratification at the parish meeting. So we have two nominees this year for the two terms. One is Sharon Steinmiller for a term of 2 years, and the other is Bill Topper for a term of 4 years. And there's no need for a motion because the vestry has brought these to the meeting, so that essentially constitutes the motion on the floor. But I would ask for a vote of acclamation of those two choices on the part of the vestry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. So, Bill and Sharon, I know Bill and Truth had to be away today, but congratulations and thank you again for your willingness to serve. I want to say also one other thing. It's in my report, but it's worth highlighting. We also, in 2021, Allie and I worked on a plan to streamline the vestry operations so that essentially now the vestry simply does the minimum necessary business for the parish. We, as you know, for many years have had the understanding that the vestry would kind of be the primary prayer support for the ministry. We're not giving that up. We're simply kind of bifurcating the roles. It's still very important that we have a team of people in leadership, whether formally elected or otherwise, who are aware of what's going on in the parish and who are praying for it. And so I'm going to be working with Sharon in her new place in the vestry on putting together a team of intercessors for the parish that when there are specific needs. We have a prayer chain, and that's very useful when there's a need for a prayer for healing or for somebody that's got a particular problem. These are going to be more for things that concern the life of the parish as a whole, for our business, for our outreach, for things that, frankly, sometimes might be a little dull, but they're very important and need prayer support. So we're going to be working on that. The upshot for the vestry is that the vestry now meets essentially every other month or as needed. So far it hasn't been needed. And we essentially conduct only the necessary business of the parish as is defined by the diocesan canons and the parish bylaws. Okay. I just remembered, by the way, that I need to say for the benefit of our online viewers that the chat function in our online presentation is not working this morning. And there's no way we can restore it without cutting you off from viewing it all. So if there are important things that you want to communicate to us, you can still email us at the address that's, I believe, available in the presentation. It's COTS, COTS, at cotsambridge.org. Okay. I now call on our outgoing senior warden, Allison Kennedy, to give a presentation on the 2022 operating budget.
Good morning.
Like
I say, I'm happy to be leaving the vestry, but I am. This is, as you will see, there's no senior warden report in the annual report because it's been a really rough year, and I forgot I had a deadline. Been working a lot at work. So my apologies about that. And we'll go ahead and discuss the 2022 operating budget. Oh, let's see. You can see the numbers on the board. And as a body, we chose to be more conservative in our estimates of income and less conservative in our estimate of expenses because, as everyone is aware, we're facing a time of higher inflation. So we bumped up the budgets for different expenses like energy, electricity, water, gas, things like that. We also chose to designate some of our available money to the building fund, and we'll see that in coming slides. So we can really go to the next slide, please. As you can see, we've been conservative in what we think our income will be, just because we thought it would be prudent. We didn't want to overestimate anything, just so that we would have a realistic picture of, you know, how things might go in 2022. But I will state I've been on either the JBEZ board or associated with the vestry since we moved here. And God has been so incredibly faithful to us. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. So I have no doubt, as we continue to be faithful to his call, that he will continue to be faithful to us. You know, he's shown that in his word. He's shown that in his actions, his character. So don't be intimidated by some of the numbers that you see, but just keep in mind that we're trying to be fiscally responsible with our decision making. So we can go to the next slide. If anybody has any questions, feel free to ask. As you can see, we have, for our expenses, yeah, I can't see anymore. One of the other things about, you know, advancing in years is that you can't see. So as you can see, that we have estimated that our expenses will increase by at least $10,000 this year. We can go to the next slide. One of the things that we were proactive in this year was we increased the salaries for the bookkeeper and the sexton 10% to be in line with the way inflation is going this year. And so that's a decision that we made. We also increased, I'm not even going on this, I'm just going on memory. We also increased our missionary budget this year because we thought that that would be prudent. Given the way things are going, the more money we spend on reaching people for Christ, the better off. So our external missions, we increased it. I can't read any of that. So next. Yeah, the salaries. Yeah, and I already covered that, so we can just slide through that. And then were there any, is there another slide? Expenses. Yeah, office of administration. One of the things that we did, we missed the deadline for canceling the lease on the copier, but we're not going to be using it this year because we have purchased a copier of our own, and over the next few years we'll realize some savings from that. Because we're too small to be having a copier lease. You know, it's not worth our money. So we've got that taken care of, and we'll be returning the other one in November. So is there anything next? Yes. Banking and things like that. We figured it would be a little more expensive this year, like everything else, as everybody has witnessed. Expenses, yep, I can almost see that. I've already explained that, so we'll just keep rolling. What's next? Yeah, we have reserved money in our building fund in case our aging air conditioner goes out, so don't skip church this summer if it's hot. because we will keep the AC going. We have also have plans to retire the mortgage, hopefully this year, by the end of the year. Did we recently make a payment? Yeah, we made a payment in January that was pretty sizable. So it looks like that will be something that we'll be able to retire. God willing. So that will be a relief. What's the next slide, please? We're done. All right.
All right, thank you, Allie. Next, I call on Michael Galbraith, who's going to give us a presentation on our building maintenance campaign. And at this time, I want to also say that one of the things that, one of the few perquisites of being rector is you get to appoint the senior warden for the year, and I'm delighted to say that Michael has agreed to serve as senior warden this year and his final year on vestry. And I'm very thankful for his ministry as well.
Thank you, David. Good morning.
Good morning.
Kind of exciting. I can't wait to go through the pictures. Okay, let's go with the first one, Flora.
Next one.
Well, this one I'd like to hold just for a second. When we came up here to the third floor, I often thought to myself, will we ever see anything close to a rendering that Alan Morris did way back in the beginning when we bought the building? And every time I come up here and see that glassy floor and that paneled walls, I say, when's it going to happen, Lord? When's it going to happen? So, next slide, please. And like Allie, I can't see back there. So, beginning of the campaign and the progress we're going to go through, and slides will be kind of self-explanatory, but I'll make some points as we go. Be nice if I could see better. Yeah. So they're pretty much self-explanatory. We did the drywall work, which was done in-house. And go ahead. And then, we had the walls completed, and then we started to do the painting, which I think is the next slide. Yeah, we did that. Downstairs, if you've been down in the basement, the sound really used to echo down in the basement, and now these panels have helped absorb some of that sound. Go ahead.
Sanctuary floor.
What was that, Mark?
Sanctuary floor.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't the floor nice? No more of that glare when we come up here. Go ahead. That was a big... not only an expense, but when the guys got into doing the work, they found some issues that we were unaware of because the old rubber roofing had covered up a lot of the things. And the contractor that did it was very meticulous, and he would call me, and I would stop here periodically to check the progress. And they really did a fabulous job. I think we're going to have a roof that's going to last us a long time. Next. Yeah, that was a big change for us. The lights we had before seemed to be kind of dark and dim, but the new lights really let you see better out there as you're passing by, and I think the banners are a great improvement also. Next. So now we start with we had the restoration done on this side of the building. the bricks were deteriorating. The lintels had corroded so badly that they were lifting the bricks, so letting water get in, and that was all redone. And the same thing done on the front. Next line. Yeah. Okay, so where are we at here? This was, okay, hold on. This was not always an element for the campaign, but the Lord has provided finances so abundantly that we're able to finish the sanctuary floor, replace the roof, the masonry, 2 or 3 years ahead of schedule. And because of this, the vestry wanted to seriously consider retiring the building mortgage, which we've kept you apprised of. So, the history, the original construction loan was $404,000. Then the loan was refinanced as a 15-year note in 2010 at $3,000 per month. Then it was refinanced again 10 years later in 2018 at $2,200 a month. Since then, Cross has been paying the $800 a month difference to Jabez as rent contributed to maintenance and upkeep of the building. The principal balance of the mortgage was $160,000 as of the 1st of January in 21, with a discharge date of September 2028. And then back up one slide, Floor. Well, the slide went through, so it was a picture of a check. After the masonry repair, Vestry voted to make a $25,000 payment of principal to the mortgage in August of 21. At year-end, principal balance was just under $120,000. And the Lord's been generous to us in 21, and we were able to make an additional $50,000 payment to principal in January of 2022. And the mortgage balance now is less than $70,000 with an anticipated discharge date of 2025. And as Allie mentioned earlier, we really are hoping to pay the rest of the balance off by the end of this year. So where are we so far at the building campaign? The income is a slideshow. We've raised to date and the remaining funds needed. We're over 60% of the way of our overall goal of $410,000. And the next slide. So I need the pie chart for. You have to go back a couple. You have it? Okay. The pie chart that was up there briefly shows that COP members have provided 48% of the funds raised so far, or nearly $130,000. Considering our size and circumstances, this is an amazing response. And to me, even from the beginning when we were at the chapel, then we went to the Commons Hall, and then we were told in certain words, let's put on your big boy pants and buy your own space. So then we created the Jabez, and we bought this building. And I've been on it since the beginning, along with Allie. And it's always amazed me when we found out the building we were going to purchase, we raised the money in less than 90 days. Then we went to the diocese to get some money to do some renovation work. And they wanted to take our mortgage from us. So we said no to that. And then they gave us money. We raised money to compete to get another $50,000 grant. And then they wanted They didn't think we would do it, but we raised this money again in like 90 days to be it. Then they put strings attached to it. So we were really getting frustrated. I was getting frustrated. But it always amazed me how small we were, of how the Lord provided, and we did things, and I think we're the only foundation in the diocese, right, that has their own piece of property. Yeah. So, okay. Okay. Okay, moving on. Remaining needs. The remaining mortgage balance cited as of the year 2021, and the actual balance now is only about $70,000. We want to do some more floor treatments, is that correct? And there's some more masonry repointed at Nissan. And of course, Allie mentioned the HVAC upgrades if we need them. And there's further work we'd like to do in the sanctuary area, especially in the sacristy behind me. The figures again are as of the year end of 2021. So the capital funds in hand are $50,000 less than the slides show. We need to still raise another $160,000. Okay. We see the project continuing through possibly late 2024. In 2021, in addition to continuing to ask for help from parishioners and current supporters, we also reached out to COTS alumni, friends who may have come and gone to seminary here and who have moved away. This portion of the appeal raised $12,000 between October and December 2021. We will continue to provide updates as things increase or decrease. And so in closing, we're not done yet, but we're getting closer. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael.
It'll take me just a second to get my trusty computer back where it needs to be. The next item on the agenda is the rector's address, which is a required part of our meeting. And so I'm going to proceed to that. I want to start by an odd image to begin with, but one of the many Roman deities of biblical times was the god Janus, or Janus. And if you know your mythology, Janus was honored as the god of beginnings and transitions. He's portrayed with two faces, one looking ahead and one looking back. And given his role, it's not surprising that the first month of our year is named after him. The function of our annual report as a parish is somewhat similar to the practice ascribed to Janus. We, too, look back at the year that has passed and look forward to what we anticipate might be ahead in the year to come. But as Trinitarian Christians, it's not surprising that we add a third point of view to the flat world sketched out by Janus. We also look up to see what God might be saying and doing, both through the events of the past year and concerning those that we anticipate to come. We'll start, then, with the look back. As you can read in our annual report, 2021 continued to be dominated by the pandemic that refuses to go away. Compared to 2020, our ministry opportunities did increase. We saw more activity online. I hope you'll read Pastor Andrew's online church report, because he and Hannah Wilson have been innovating some really good and very important features that are going to continue to be part of the life of Church of the Savior moving ahead. And I might add to that we also continue to find it convenient, even when meeting in person is possible, to have some of our meetings on Zoom. So, for example, that picture, I think, is, I can't see it really well either, but I believe that's Bishop Rogers' K group meeting on Zoom. And our vestry meetings have been primarily by Zoom as well, and others of our Bible studies.
I also am so pleased that Deacon Laura has been meeting for weekly Bible study at the Maidwood Personal Care Home. She's too modest to tell you many of the details in her report, but I will. During the fall, between 7 and 10 people were attending weekly, and the residency, there's about 32 to 34 residents there. So that's a sizable proportion of the population. And it's not always the same 7 to 10. Not only is this a great opportunity to be discipling folks more deeply than we can do on a Sunday morning, but it also keeps the door open to form relationships for ongoing pastoral care and other ministry. And you can see the Bible study group, that's an earlier picture actually, but that's essentially the context in which they were meeting. Again, you can read in the report document about the progress in dealing with the needs of our building, as you just heard Michael Galbraith tell us. The principal thing that was done in 2021 was to repair the damaged masonry on the north wall and the top of our building. And because of the progress of our capital campaign, beyond what we had anticipated, we were able to make a $25,000 prepayment to principal on the mortgage, bringing the balance, as Michael said, at year-end to just under $120,000. That's a very concise and quick look back. I want to spend more of our time this morning looking forward and especially looking up. In looking forward, we need to address, I like to say, the dog that isn't barking. If you remember the Sherlock Holmes story where the clue to the murder was the dog that didn't bark because he knew the murderer, and that was how they were able to identify him. What isn't in our 2021 annual report? What features of life are not there? From our worship on Sunday mornings to our outreach ventures, the reality is the Church of the Savior continues to lack certain elements that were part of our life before March 2020, and more importantly, that will need to be a part of a preferred future for us, from prayer ministry to having meals together to having ministry with children, both Sunday mornings and otherwise. It is my expectation that each of those ministries will be restored in 2022, whether the pandemic ends, in quotes, or not. Some features will be simpler to address than others. In coming days and weeks, I'm going to be having conversations with various ministry leaders about how we can best proceed with all of them, and possibly others as well. Because we are followers of Jesus, not Jameis, certainly our look forward and even our look back need to be undertaken while we are also looking up. Looking up involves using our discernment to consider what God might be saying about what we are observing about the past, and certainly what he is saying concerning the future, what his plans are for that future. One of my favorite scriptures, Bishop John, if you're watching this morning, you can hold your ears. He doesn't particularly care for Proverbs, but it's Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, that says, "Man makes his plans, but the Lord directs his steps." We want in everything that we do at Church of the Savior to have the Lord be the one who's directing our steps. And so we need to be listening carefully. Our look up begins with what was undoubtedly the most difficult and painful feature of 2021 for Church of the Savior, the deaths from COVID of Patty Tomaszewski and Dee Joy within a week of one another. I'm thankful for the way Church of the Savior members and friends have demonstrated God's compassion in caring for one another in our grief. I'm sure you know what I'm now going to say, but I need to remind us so that you know that I also know that although we've had a memorial service for Dee and Patty, and the testimonies of God's faithfulness to and through them have helped all of us obtain a measure of closure, that does not mean that we will not continue to grieve, even if less frequently and less deeply with the passage of time, even if always with the comfort and security of the hope that we share with them in Christ. But even as we grieve, and perhaps especially as we grieve, we also need to be listening for what the Lord may be saying to us in the circumstances. Bill Topper said it in his testimony at the memorial service. Our sisters' work is done. They loved Jesus, and they served him. We understand not perfectly, of course, but faithfully while they were here. Now they are with Jesus, rejoicing with him in heaven. We are still here, and the call of the gospel for Church of the Savior has not changed. It's like when the senior class from a championship basketball team graduates. Now the underclassmen need to step up and fill the roles that have been vacated. If you're listening to me this morning, you're still here. The call has not changed. There are some big shoes empty. A crucial question for Church of the Savior in 2022 is who will fill those shoes. A second question is perhaps even more vital. How will those shoes be filled? Patty and Dee excelled at their ministries, especially in their places of work. Patty at Giant Eagle, Dee at Eaton Park. If you came into Eaton Park, you were going to hear about Jesus. You just were. There was no way it was not going to happen. Would that more of us would have and cultivate that ministry of personal witness to Christ. At the same time, we simply have to admit that most of us do not have the same gifts as Dee and Patty. But the ministry of evangelism from Church of the Savior cannot come to an end simply because our two most gifted evangelists have been promoted to heaven. The good news for Church of the Savior in 2022 comes in this secret that the devil doesn't want you and me to know, and especially to practice. You don't have to be a gifted evangelist in order to share the love and life of Jesus Christ with people yet outside his kingdom. And especially, you don't have to do it alone. Let me say that one again. You don't have to do it alone. The secret's tied to a vital practice. Church is a community venture that can take place in many different contexts. Church does not need to be tied exclusively to Sunday morning, nor does church need to meet only in a dedicated building. Nor is church only about worship and personal devotion to Jesus. Worship and personal devotion to Jesus are vital, but they're not the only purpose for our being together. In postmodern, post-Christian America, church now also needs to be about sharing the gospel with people who may have never heard it. It probably is difficult for us to wrap our brains around. But you meet people every day on the street, in Giant Eagle, at the bank, wherever you go, who may not even know the reality of who God is, who may never think about whether it's possible for them to have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ, who may have never heard the gospel, right here. Church now needs to be about sharing the gospel with people who may have never heard it. Church now means that we are all missionaries in some way or another. And friends, we have the resources to do that. Just one, those of us who have been on CPX know this one well, this Discovery Bible Study empowers ordinary people to discover Christian faith and life in small groups of twos and threes. And it lets the Bible do the talking, and anybody can lead it. There are five questions. Number one, you read a text, you ask the questions, what did you like? Number two, what did this tell you about God? Number three, what does it tell you about people? Number four, what are you going to do with it this week? Number five, who can you tell? It's that simple. Anyone can lead it. And above all, church now need not depend on the rugged individualism that has been so characteristic of American culture historically. In small communities, different people bring different complementary gifts that together function as the body of Christ, living the life of Jesus organically together and welcoming outsiders as part of the community, where they can discover Jesus by experiencing his love, forgiveness, and healing. What might that kind of church look like, a church of the Savior? Perhaps one or more small groups of people who would meet regularly for fellowship, but with an outreach emphasis and focus, catalyzing body life in which we would discern significant needs in our surroundings and offer together ministries to address those needs. Whether in such a form or some other, Church of the Savior in 2022 needs to rediscover outreach in Ambridge, where the pandemic has provided yet another overlay to the devastation that has marked the lives of so many families and children as long as this church has been in existence. We can begin with the resources we have already, just in this building. In 2022, we want to continue to reach out to our deaf neighbors, as Flora has described in her report on Signs of Grace. I hope you'll read it. We want to extend our outreach to the 12-step groups that meet 3 times a week in our basement. We want to give specific invitation to people not yet here to come, starting perhaps with a very simple practice of giving people rides on Sunday mornings. None of that is rocket science. All of it is within our reach. Our look ahead and our look up also will bring us back to this building. At last year's meeting, we stated 3 goals for the building. First, to clean out the junk that has been stored in it. Second, to retire the mortgage by the end of 2023. And third, to begin filling the building again with people being introduced to the gospel and set free to minister the gospel to others. 2021, I'm happy to say, saw progress on all 3 goals. In April, we filled a 10-foot dumpster. In August, we spent nearly $1,000 from our capital funds to recycle electronics and paints that had been accumulating in the building, in some cases, for the whole time that we've occupied it. We're not done yet. More house cleaning will need to take place later this spring. Stay tuned for details. The second thing we did was to expand our appeal to alumni and friends to partner with us in our building campaign, and we did so in a rather unorthodox way, not theologically unorthodox, I should say unorthoprax way, with 2 requests. In addition to the obvious appeal for funds, we also asked for workers to come participate in the gospel outreach ministries that will take place from this building in days and months to come. And frankly, that second request was much more in the form of a prayer. It wasn't so much that I was expecting that I'd get 6 responses back from people saying, yeah, I want to come. But it was more of an appeal saying, this is vital to our future. As much as the building is vital to our future, we need people who can expand our gospel outreach. And it wasn't surprising then that we received no direct responses from the people we wrote to. Yet God has heard that prayer and has brought not only several new faces, but is calling out new ministries. Most visibly during 2022, both Stephen Crawford and Tony Hermankovich will be exploring with me and others possible calls to ordained ministry in the Anglican Church. Third, as Michael mentioned, we raised sufficient funds in 2021 that we were able to pay $25,000 toward the principal on our mortgage. At the end of the year, our principal had been reduced to just under $120,000 from the $202,000 we refinanced in 2018, which in turn was half the original balance from 2004. But that wasn't all. At year-end, sufficient capital funds remained that the vestry at its meeting in January authorized a further payment of $50,000 to mortgage principal. That payment has now been made reducing the balance to under $70,000, and we still have upwards of $20,000 in capital funds on hand. If we only make regular monthly payments throughout this year, the mortgage balance will be further reduced to about $48,000 principal at year end. In both 2020 and 2021, in fact, it was amazing how close the figures were. We took in over $77,000, I think a couple hundred dollars more last year than the year before. That was during the pandemic. We made no appeals that were unique, at least. I mean, people knew we were doing the campaign, but we made no special appeals. And God provided over $150,000 towards our building in those 2 years. If in 2022 we take in even two-thirds the amount of capital donations that we had in each of the previous 2 years, not together, but each of them, there's every reason to believe that, God willing, when we hold our annual meeting this time next year, the mortgage will be discharged. And the $26,000 that we have been paying to debt service every year since 2004 will be available for other purposes in the 2023 operating budget. Indeed, let's give thanks to God for that. This is His work. We are grateful, Lord. We're so grateful for Your provision. And we just desire that we can respond accordingly through Your great mercy. I want to close with a word of encouragement for us. Church of the Savior has come through a very, very hard, very challenging 2 years. I know that everybody is in the same position. Everybody's had a very hard, very challenging 2 years. But as a body, so have we. Last summer, as you know, Jason and Hannah Wilson and Izzy in utero attended the CPX training in Kansas City with our friends Joshua and Meredith Johnson. Meredith, as many of you know, is a COTS alumna from some years ago. I had the privilege of teaching her in seminary. Not that there was a whole lot I could teach her, but in any case, we've been delighted to continue relationship with them. And while Jason and Hannah were there for their training, someone who didn't know them, doesn't know Ambridge, spoke this prophetic word over them. Ambridge may feel like a small and insignificant place by the world's standards, and we may not see its significance, but in God's plan, it is significant and crucial. If you've been around over the years, you know this is not the first time we have heard a similar word concerning Church of the Savior and Ambridge. The psalmist wrote, "God has spoken once, twice have I heard it." Evidently, it took more than one try for the word of the Lord to get through, even to David, the inspired psalmist. Friends, we've heard it before, and God is now graciously giving us another chance. This time, you and I need to hear this word. And I don't mean just to hear it go in one ear and out the other. I mean to hear it and believe it. God has a reason for Church of the Savior continuing to be here in 2022. Yes, it is true, there are many difficulties and obstacles. While it looks like the pandemic may be winding down, we've thought that before. Our nation's economy and political processes are in a frightening mess. Civil discourse between people with disagreements, whether in public or in private, appears to be a thing of the past. Do you know that we could have a tremendous impact on our culture simply if we would do the radical thing of loving people we don't agree with? Can you imagine that? As it is, Christians are increasingly marginalized, and I would add demonized, in civic life. There is much in the looming future, especially nationwide, that can very appropriately be cause for fear. But perfect love casts out fear. And nationwide may be a bit above our pay grade, but what goes on in the nation will inevitably affect our life here in Ambridge. And Ambridge, friends, is not above our pay grade. It is our pay grade to begin with. There is also this. Never in my experience has there been more opportunity for the advance of the kingdom of God. Wherever people are hurting and fearful, there will always be openings for the gospel. And right now, people are hurting and fearful. When we hear anger, it usually means there's fear underneath. I may not be able to put words to it, but that's where we come in. We can give them the words, or more properly, the word that brings life, real life. The gospel has always been communicated in relationships. It's always been that way. It was the way in the apostolic church. Go read the book of Acts again. Even in a wired age, and maybe especially in a wired age, that remains the case. There are opportunities for the kingdom of God right here in Ambridge that you and I can take together beginning right now. The goal of our capital campaign has always been to relieve our budget of the burden of debt service and major maintenance so that our operating resources could be focused more on the people we are here to love and serve in Jesus' name. And we are on the verge of seeing that long-standing dream of as long as this building has been occupied, come reality. Just at a time, God always knows the right time. When, if my assessment is right, the need and openness for the gospel is going to increase, perhaps as never before, in any of our lifetimes. Listen again to this word. Carry it with you. Meditate on it throughout this year. Ambridge may feel like a small and insignificant place by the world's standards, and we may not see its significance. But in God's plan, it is significant and crucial. Let me tell you another secret the devil doesn't want you to know. So is Church of the Savior significant. So are you and I significant. Yours and mine is a great calling from a much greater God. This is what he has said of the mission field, a very small but very significant part of which he has committed to you and to me. Ambridge may feel like a small and insignificant place. We may not see its significance, but in God's plan, it is significant and crucial. Our primary task, brothers and sisters, this year is to believe this word and act accordingly, confident that God really means what he has said. God has said that the place he has set us is significant and crucial for his plan for the world. With the help of his Spirit, together we can engage with thanksgiving and joy our calling to bring the gospel of Jesus to our neighbors in Ambridge and to the ends of the earth in the knowledge that that calling is significant to God. And we can succeed in that calling because he has said so. God willing and being our help, together we will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I know it's late, but I want to take a minute or so and ask if there are questions or comments on any of the presentations that we've heard this morning. And if you do, well, I can repeat the question if it needs to be. I don't think you need to come to the mic. Debbie McKeon. Well, thank you, Debbie. I appreciate that very much. I want very much for us to know that there's a lot of vital ministry already going on here, already. And regrettably, we don't mention all of it. It's not even all in the written report. I really do believe as well, and thank you, Debbie, that we are in a place where there's more opportunity even than we already have. And I'm excited to think that God's going to lead us into that. Well, seeing none, there's always opportunity for feedback later in person, and that's fine. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I forgot one thing. I need to ask for a motion that we adjourn the meeting.
Forever.
Michael Galbraith, Mark Qualick, all right. All in favor? Good. The peace of the Lord be always with you.